verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. That statement right there says that we're to, those who profess godliness are to dress different, with good works. So in our text, as we saw last week, Paul has moved from speaking of men and the responsibility of prayer, and he's now speaking of women and the responsibility of modesty in clothing. And again, that he addresses women does not make the subject of modest clothing irrelevant to men, just as when he addressed men on the subject of prayer, that doesn't make prayer irrelevant to women. Prayer, of course, is relevant to both men and women, and modest dress is relevant to both men and women. We all know that our society is obsessed with sex, sex craze, sex saturated, a society where sexuality and sensuality and immorality are promoted and encouraged in a variety of ways. And one of the main or foremost avenues being through clothing. So it does matter how we dress. We saw last week that our clothes send a message. In other words, they make a statement and they do identify. They identify. Therefore, again, it does matter how we dress. And we saw that clothes matter to God. We see in the garden following the fall of man that God made coats of skins and clothed them, that is, Adam and Eve. That clothes matter to God is seen from the fact that he commanded Moses with regard to the children of Israel meeting him at Mount Sinai, let them wash their clothes. It mattered that they did not come with dirty clothes. And also from the fact in Exodus chapter 28 that God gave very detailed and explicit instructions for making the garments of the priest's office. He directed in the colors. He directed in the fabrics, the design. He directed in the pattern. And why? Because it all mattered. It all mattered to the Lord. And last week we saw, as in everything, that there has to be a foundation for everything that we do. And there is a foundation to proper dress, and that is modesty in the heart. That's where it all begins. And that's so with everything. The heart condition is expressed in the words holy in verse 8, shamefacedness and sobriety in verse 9, and the word godliness in verse 10. So as we said last week, modesty is not first an issue of clothing, but it is first and primarily an issue of the heart. Proper attire does not make one right with God. Proper attire does not make one holy. But those who are holy, those who are modest in heart, will desire to dress in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. A heart that's right with God is not going to get all upset about the subject of dress. A heart that's right with God wants to dress in the interest of godliness. So the subject tonight is, what is biblical modesty in dress? Well, part of that equation is sin and the shame of nakedness. So when we consider the subject of modest dress, It's important that we realize God created Adam and Eve, a wholesome attraction to one another. God put that in them when He created them. But when sin entered, everything was changed. And when sin entered, it prevented or became a hindrance to this wholesome attraction. In Genesis 3 and verse 7, after they sinned, it says, they knew that they were naked. They knew that they were naked. Now, attraction to the opposite gender is God wrought. It's God wrought. But sin has distorted that attraction. We always have to consider this when we're considering the subject of dress. Again, in Genesis 2, verse 25, if we turn over there, very familiar verse. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So God created Adam and Eve naked, and they weren't ashamed. There was no disgrace in that nakedness. The reason is because they had not yet sinned. Someone may say, well, God created naked, there's nothing wrong. Oh, but you're leaving something out, something very important. Sin has changed that perfect nakedness. It's now changed. So when sin entered, that good nakedness generated into shamefulness. And we read that they knew that they were naked, and they were ashamed, and because they were ashamed, they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. Because of sin, their nakedness was now shameful. Because of sin, their nakedness was now disgraceful. So again, when people say the human body is a beautiful creation of God, and we will not argue that, but then they will make a false assumption or come to a false conclusion, and they'll say, and therefore there's no shame in displaying it. Oh, but there is. Because you see, sin changed everything. They leave out of the equation the fallen and sinful nature of man. You cannot leave that out of the equation when we're dealing with the subject of dress. So because of sin, because of the sinful nature inherited through Adam, nakedness is disgraceful. Nakedness is now shameful. This is seen in many, many different scriptures. Because of, we see it in the behavior of Ham and his brothers toward their father. In Genesis chapter 9, if we turn over there, Genesis chapter 9, verses 22 and verse 23. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward. They would not look upon their father's nakedness and covered the nakedness of their father. And covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. So nakedness is disgraceful. It is also seen from the fact that the Lord would not allow His people to have steps to His altar. The reason being that nakedness would be revealed while they were climbing. Notice in Genesis, or in Book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Doesn't mean they were unclothed, but the revealing of the body was nakedness, and it was a shameful thing. Nakedness is disgraceful. It's seen from the fact that while Moses was communing with God, the people down below fell into idolatry and evil activity, which included various stages of undress, which was a shameful thing. Notice again in Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. Exodus 32, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. They were naked unto their shame. Nakedness is shameful. Nakedness is disgraceful. It's seen from the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verses 16 through 19, chapter 20, verses 17 through 21. You read repeatedly, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father, and on it goes. Now, immediately, again, though all of those statements are speaking of committing sexual acts, but there is a biblical principle that is stated, and that is nakedness is not to be uncovered. And we see that when it is connected to sexual perversions. And you see that again in Leviticus 18 and in Leviticus 20, over and over and over. So nakedness is disgraceful, it's shameful. It is seen from the fact that prisoners in Bible times were sometimes marched away naked, that their shame would be seen, that their shame would be public and magnified. Notice in Isaiah chapter 20, Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 24, Isaiah 20 verse 24. No, that's not what I want. Verse 4. Isaiah 20, verse 4. So shall the king of Syria lead away the Ethiopians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. Nakedness is disgraceful. It's seen from the fact that God associates it with shame. Isaiah 47 and 3, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Notice in the book of Nahum, chapter 3, and verse 5. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts from thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. Even when speaking spiritually, when the application of spiritual nakedness is a shameful thing. And we see in Revelation 3 and verse 17, though obviously speaking spiritually, there are the words, the shame of thy nakedness. The shame of thy nakedness. Nakedness is disgraceful. This is seen from the fact that to purposely look upon it brings the judgment of God. Notice in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him. Talking about wine, talking about alcohol. But notice the reason that they do this. And makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. That's a shameful thing. That's a disgraceful thing. So because of fallen nature, man's depraved heart became the catalyst and his eyes the means in which he now craved and lusted after the female form. So again, when considering modest dress, you have to consider, you cannot leave out of the equation two things: sin. And because of sin, because of the sinful nature of man, nakedness is disgraceful. Again, people can say all they want, well, God created Adam and Eve naked. Yes, he did. But sin changed everything. Changed everything. And that's why God clothed them. That's why they attempted, though they failed, they tempted to clothe themselves. So in an amoral society, nakedness and sexual expression become more and more prevalent, as we see today. And basically today, we are an undressed society. An undressed society bombarded on all sides with sexual expression and exploitation. So that gets us to, we can't leave those two things out of the equation. And that brings us to the defining of modest dress. Some will ask, usually in protest, who defines what is modest? The answer, God already has. God already has. And in the consideration of what constitutes modest dress, we want to focus our attention in our text upon two words: adorn and modest. Adorn and modest. Those two words are used in relation to the word apparel. Apparel. We are to adorn ourselves in modest apparel or clothes. Now, modest, of course, is the adjective describing the noun apparel. And the word adorn is a verb. It's an act. It's something we do. It's something we do on purpose. It's something we do with purpose. And it has to do with apparel. Adorn in modest apparel. So consider, first of all, the word adorn. It's the Greek word kosmeo, meaning to arrange and put in order. To arrange and put in order. So it is orderly arrangement. Our apparel is to be orderly arranged, or that which is according to order. Now, that word kosmeo is a derivative of kosmeos, speaking of God's ordered universe, Psalm 19, verse 1, that declares the glory of God. So the word adorn conveys the idea of put yourselves together orderly in a way that declares the glory of God, or in a way that is appropriate to God's order. So from this, we see that modesty in dress is conformity to God's order. Conformity to God's order. So again, to adorn is something we do on purpose, we do it with thought, and we do it with intent. So when a person goes outside partially clothed, they have done that with thought, they have done that with purpose, and they have done that with intent. When they come to the house of God, clothed that way, They have done so with purpose, thought, and intent. You put on your clothes on purpose. You don't put them on by accident. And you do it with purpose as well. So, it is dressing in a way that is fitting to God's order. Adorn, orderly. In other words, our clothing is to be based upon God's order. It is to be according to God's purpose. Now, this is quite different from the basis of fashion, which is built upon sexual attraction. And the purpose being to display the human body. So if we are to dress according to God's order, we have to know God's order when it comes to clothing. And the Bible makes that quite clear. Following the sin of Adam and Eve, again, Genesis 3, verse 7, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Notice it does not say that they were clothed. It does not say that. They made themselves aprons. But then you go down to Genesis 3, verse 21. We read that God made them coats. Now, there's a big difference between a coat and an apron. God made them coats. The word there is tunic, a loose garment, not something that is form-fitting. He made them coats of skins, not something that was sheer. And, that is, in doing so, clothed, covered them. They were never clothed when they made themselves aprons. When God made them coats of skin, they now were clothed. So when man designed clothes, they did not cover. Adam and Eve made themselves aprons. Nowhere does it say they were covered. When God designed clothes, He did so for the purpose of covering. Of covering what? Nakedness. Because of sin, nakedness is disgraceful. Nakedness is shameful. So God made clothes to cover nakedness. That was God's order. And we are to dress according to God's order. God's order for the clothes of the priest was a design of covering. In Exodus 28, verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness." The reason to make these breeches was to cover their nakedness. And then what it says is, "From the loins," that's the hips, "even under the thighs," which is the knees, "they shall reach." So you see, when God designed clothing for the priest, He also established proper length. They were made to cover nakedness, and He established a length from the hips to the knees. Now from Isaiah 47, if we turn over there, Isaiah 47, verses 2 and 3. "Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. If you do that, thy nakedness shall be uncovered." If you uncover the thigh, which is the hip to the knees, you uncover that, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. So we see that the uncovering of the thigh was the revealing of nakedness. So from this, we see that the Bible calls inadequate and improper clothing of the body, he calls it nakedness. You don't have to be stark naked to be naked. And we see that. Adam and Eve weren't stark naked with those aprons, but they were naked. We see that the proper length had to be on the priest's breeches. Because if it wasn't, their nakedness would be seen. And we see here, to uncover the thigh. It doesn't mean you're completely uncovered, but just the revealing constitutes nakedness, which because of sin is disgraceful and shameful. So in Revelation 6, verse 11, 7, verse 9, verse 13 and 14, God's people are clothed or covered in robes. God did the clothing there. And it was a long and loose outer garment. That which was not, a robe is not form-fitting. A robe does not reveal. And we see here that God's clothing, God's purpose of clothing, is meant to cover. That's God's order. We are to dress according to God's order. And God's order is clothes are to cover. Clothes are to cover nakedness. Clothes are not meant by God's design to reveal nakedness. Clothes by God's design are meant to conceal nakedness. So any clothes that reveals nakedness is shameful, is immodest. And we'll get to that a little later. But clothing is the cover. Now, does that include when you're standing? Yes, it does. Does that include when you're sitting? Yes, it does. Does that include when you're stooping down? Yes, it does. Does that include when you're walking? I don't care what you're doing. Clothes are to cover. In public, clothes are to cover. No matter the activity, no matter the function, no matter the occasion. Because there are many who think today that nudity, and I'm talking about God's people, think that nudity is acceptable at weddings and other functions in the name of elegance, in the name of beauty. It's so beautiful. God calls it shameful and disgraceful. And in the name of elegance, bridal parties wear gowns that expose shoulders and reveal cleavage and bare backs. That's not covering nakedness. And a wedding is not an occasion to parade around naked or to show nakedness. So God's order for clothing is not to expose, not to reveal anatomy, but to cover. We are to adorn ourselves in such a way that covers. That's very simple. You know when you're covered. You know when you're not. And clothing is designed for cover, for concealing. We are to adorn ourselves in such a way that covers. The Bible does give the standard for covering the body. And anything that fails to cover nakedness does not meet biblical principles of morality. Again, to adorn is something that we do on purpose and with purpose. We adorn ourselves in such a way that covers. Notice that it is adorn themselves in. Why doesn't it say adorn themselves with modest apparel? Adorn themselves in. Big difference. Adorn themselves in. That means you're enclosed, you're surrounded by apparel. So that's one part of God's order, is to cover. Another part, which we're not going to cover tonight, of course, is to protect the body. You wear a coat in the wintertime. Clothing is given to protect from elements. And even that, again, is to be modest. Again, the word adorn has to do with God's order. God's order is clothes are to cover. God's order also is clothing distinguishes between the sexes. We read in Deuteronomy 22:5 that a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall he put on a woman's garments, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord. People want to argue that verse all the time. And I will say that if that's the only verse you have, because there's a lot more, we've already covered some of them, to promote modest clothing, there's a lot more. That's not the only verse you need. It's not the only verse you need to distinguish between the sexes. But what people fail to realize, whatever their interpretation of Deuteronomy 22:5 is, you read that verse and there is that which pertaineth to a man and there is that which pertaineth to a woman. Now, I don't care what your interpretation of Deuteronomy 22:5 is, you cannot get around. There is something that pertains to a man and there are woman's garments. That's what it says. So, that's God's order. And in an orderly society, clothing does indicate gender. God's will is that there be a sacred distinction between male and female in clothing. We are to adorn ourselves in a way that distinguishes us from the opposite sex. I will even include in that, just by making a statement, that also includes hairstyles. I don't believe that women ought to wear pants. I don't believe that women ought to cut their hair short either. And I think one's just as bad as the other. And you may disagree, but again, hairstyles are to distinguish between the sexes. Therefore, I don't believe men should have long hair. I don't believe women should have short hair. And then people say, well, what's long, what's short? You know good and well what's long, you know good and well what's short. I sure hope so. So there is clothing that pertains to a man. There is clothing that pertains to a woman. Clothing is to be distinctly male or female. And that which pertaineth unto a man or a woman is to cover, because that's the design of clothing. It is to cover. It is not to reveal. It is not to display. That's not the purpose. And it is to distinguish between the sexes. So when we dress according to God's order, we cover and we distinguish. We cover nakedness, and we distinguish between the sexes. The word adorn also means beautiful, to beautify. And when we dress according to God's order, that's beautiful. All people may think that it's cute to parade around revealing nakedness, but it's a disgrace. It's a shame. If you want to dress beautifully, you do so according to God's order, which is to cover and to distinguish. So there's the word adorn. That brings us to the word modest. Notice it's not merely adorn themselves in apparel. Why didn't Timothy just say that, or Paul just say that to Timothy? Have your women adorn themselves in apparel. Because that wouldn't be sufficient to cover nakedness. And that's the purpose of clothing. So he says they are to adorn themselves in modest apparel, which describes the word apparel. Apparel is to be modest. What does that mean? Well, it means well-ordered in a moral sense. well ordered in a moral sense. Keep in mind the sinful nature of man. Well ordered in a moral sense. It is that which is not forward. It is that which does not help to advance sexual desires. I'm quite aware that you could put a sack over yourself and someone still have sexual desire. I'm quite aware of that. But you're not an accessory to that. But we're to be modest apparel. It does not help to advance sexual desires. It's free from anything that is suggestive of sexual impurity. In other words, it's with reverence. People are to dress with reverence. Reverence to God. And God says, because of sin, nakedness is a disgrace. We're to dress ourselves in reverence to God in that which is circumspect. That's why, again, we should not be concerned with where's the line. You want to stay as far away from the line as you can. To be circumspect. The word modest is synonymous with chastity. It's synonymous with purity. Purity of thoughts. Purity of manners. So again, when we put on clothing, we need to ask ourselves, why am I wearing this? What is my purpose in wearing this? Again, modesty is first a matter of the heart. It's the heart's desire to glorify God. To glorify God in our clothing. Modesty is the inward motivation of the heart expressed in outward apparel. Modesty is living with a God consciousness. When we dress, we're to do so with a God consciousness. And God says nakedness is shameful. Nakedness is disgraceful because of sin. Modest apparel is one of the results of a God consciousness. Again, adorn themselves in modest apparel. The rule for regulating our clothing is simple. It is to be consistent with pure and reverent conduct. It is to be consistent with that. Our clothing should be characterized by the holiness of the one who saved us. Dress for both men and women is to be in line with or on the order of God's principles, which is to clothe, which is to cover, not to conceal, not to reveal. God has principles of modesty. As we already saw, God even established a length. So we live in a sexed, overly sexed society and culture. And clothing that expresses areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex does not in any way meet the criteria of covering and concealing, and therefore is immodest. That which is tight-fitting, it can be all the way down to the floor, but if it is tight-fitting, it does not cover because it reveals. It reveals. Therefore, it is immodest. Shirts on men that do not cover is not modest apparel. Low cut tops that reveal cleavage, or short tops that do not cover the midriff, does not meet the criteria of covering and concealing. Clothing that allows limited exposure is not modest. In fact, ladies, if you were to talk to some men, limited exposure is even worse than if you were just stark naked. Clothing that allows limited exposure, slit skirts, clothes that are torn. Why would anybody wear clothes? Go into a store, pay good money, and buy clothes that are torn. There's only one reason. I mean, it doesn't make any financial sense. Clothes that have holes that expose areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex does not meet the criteria of covering and concealing. So you see, modesty is not simply covering flesh. It is also concealing form. It is concealing form. The cry of the feminist is, it is my body, and I will do with it what I want. Well, again, that's a wrong premise. It's not your body. The cry of the modern evangelical id is it is my liberty. It is Christian liberty. Again, a false assumption. Because God has much to say about covering. So it's not your liberty to uncover. Again, the declaration of Scripture is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, because you're not your own, because you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body belongs to Him. He redeemed it with His blood. And we must give serious consideration when it comes to adorning, clothing, this body. So what we read here in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, is timeless. It's timeless. And it is timeless regardless of fashion. People say, well, that's the fashion. What's your point? What's that got to do with anything? It has absolutely nothing to do with it. Our measuring stick is God's order. And many, many, many times, fashion goes against God's order. Well, it looks good on me. Well, that's a matter of opinion. But it doesn't look good if it reveals nakedness. God says it's disgraceful. It's a shameful thing. So this is timeless. When we get dressed, it is to be in line with God's order for clothes, which is to cover. That's first and foremost. It is to cover. And it is also to distinguish between sexes. That's God's order. And our clothing is to be in line with God's order. We are to dress in the interest of godliness. We're to dress in the interest of purity. In the interest of reverence. And don't fall into that trap. Again, nakedness is beautiful. The human body is beautiful. It's God created. Yes, it's God created. But sin, the nature of man, has made nakedness shameful and disgraceful. We're to cover. And again, adorn themselves in, not with, modest apparel. And again, it all begins with the heart. You can set all the rules you want to, and people will rebel, kids will rebel, You can create all kinds of self-righteous Pharisees. God's already set the rules. And if our heart is in tune with God, we will want to dress according to God's order. Anyone who would debate this needs to really, truly examine your heart. And again, don't think because you dress, because your apparel is modest, that doesn't mean you are. It doesn't mean that you're right with God. And that's the first thing, is that our hearts be right with God. And if our hearts are right with God, I don't think dressing is an issue. It's not an issue. Not an issue at all. Heart's right with God. You want to do everything to His glory. You want to do everything according to His order. Whatever it is. So God help us. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse 5.